event. Our call to worship today is Dance With Me, and kind of sets the mood for our worship today. This is a holy time where we gather to worship God and share our love for each other.
Won't you dance with me? That's a good way to start, huh? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this first Sunday of Lent. Here comes the star of the day. In this congregation, there are more people who think their grandkids are the best-looking, smartest, most loving, caring, and today, little Crosby is. He's our favorite. So we have an opportunity to baptize Crosby this morning. It's nice to have you here. A couple of announcements. Our midweek Lenten services continue this week, Wednesday night. 5:30, there's a potluck, and at 6:30, we have worship. So please join us if you're able. Also, our theme this week is Love Like Jesus, so the theme is to pray. And so I'm going to invite you to please, every day, take some time to pray. But on the tables in the fellowship hall, there are different prayers. If you'd like to take them home and read through them and participate in them, please do that. Also, one more thing is we've got some personal care kits here, and I'm going to ask Sherry Johnson. Where are you, Sherry? Well, you forgot it. Actually, she's an hour early to church this morning because she turned her clock ahead and had to hurry up to get here. So, there you go. Come on up here, Sherry. Come on. Yep, it's here.
Two bars of soap. Two fresh ups wrap. You can buy the bulky ones, but then put it in a put the longer envelope.
You've been retired too long.
Home and a nail clipper. And it tells how to do it. And then just tie it up. I'll have a spot back there.
And what do these what are these used for?
For any disaster around the world. Remember Haiti?
Lutheran World Relief.
I think even Katrina, anywhere that you're out of your home. Look at the weather we've had all over the state, and people have lost their homes. This is pretty nice when you have nothing else.
Yeah, Lutheran World Relief, as far as overhead, is one of the best in the world as far as getting everything they put right on the scene, because we have missionaries, we have people that can take care of that. So nothing goes for overhead. Very little does anyway.
Yes,
nice. So, all right.
Don't buy the dollar store in the dollar store. They're not sturdy enough for it. Our hair is a little finer than a lot of people around the world.
Doesn't get any finer than this.
Maybe you want a shine cloth. Thank you.
Okay. And when do you need them by, Sherry? June 8th, okay, so, all right, good, thank you. I think that's good for today. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh, Lord, you invite us to dance with you, and so help our lives to be a dance in your spirit with you as our partner. Today, as we worship, we pray your spirit might dance in our hearts, that we might come alive and be renewed and restored, and that we might see the world with new eyes and with a new heart. So send your spirit, Lord, as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen.
The next song is a very familiar song to anybody that's ever watched a Billy Graham crusade or been to a crusade, just as I am. But there's an addition to that called Jesus Take All of Me. It's a good song for Lent because Jesus takes us just as we are, the undeserving people that we are, and died for us. The added line in this version is, Jesus, take all of me. I run to you. I lay everything at your feet. Let my life be yours. So as we journey in Lent, let us all be able to say, let my life be yours. We'll start. It starts out with the just as I am familiar part and then goes into Jesus, take all of me. And that's repeated several times. So if you haven't ever heard of it, by the end you should be able to catch on to the tune of it and sing with us.
One thing, but that thy love was shed for
Please rise and let us turn to the order of confession and forgiveness, your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Come, let us acknowledge our sin and seek God's face that we may live. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Holy God, we confess that we have turned away from you and from our neighbors and in toward ourselves. We have sought security in possessions and the place of power in relationships. We have trusted ourselves most of all. Turn us back to you, O God. In your mercy, forgive our sinfulness and cleanse us from guilt and shame. Guide us on the path of freedom that is your gift to us in Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear for yourselves. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In the waters of baptism, grace abounds for you and for all. God turns to you in love and puts away every sin, every wrong turn, for the sake of Jesus, the one God sent to save the world. Sisters and brothers in Christ, beloved children of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all. Let's join in the prayer of the day. Lord God, our strength, the struggle between good and evil rages within and around us, and the devil and all the forces that defy you tempt us with empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us again, and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the praise team to sing the anthem for the day.
Our anthem today is "That's Why We Praise Him." And if you listen carefully to the words, you'll see that these words also fit in very well with the theme of Lent, that Jesus came into the world to live among men, to die for us, and to rise again so that we might have eternal life. He gave us everything for us.
To live a perfect life, he came to me, the living word, our life, he came to die, so
Thank you. That was really neat. I'm going to invite the sponsors and parents and the baby to come forward. Look at that little foot. Oh, where's his stockings? This is little Crosby. Crosby in Norwegian means means cross. And so the cross of Jesus is coming to Crosby's life today. As you were singing that wonderful anthem, take a look. It's our new brother in Christ, soon to be, huh? I was thinking of that scene out of The Lion King where Mufasa, the father, held the baby up and presented the baby to God. And we do that in a little different way here. God presents the baby to you to take care of. Now, I know that that great-grandparents and grandparents and parents, oh, I should say great-great-grandparents, grandparents, grandparents. See, that's the circle of life. That's really the circle of life. And this is God's baby, and he's given him to you to do the best job you can. The Spirit has been given to your great-grandparents, and somehow that Spirit lived and grew and loved and shared, and it was shared with their children and was shared with your parents, and now it's shared with you, and now you're wanting to share this with little Crosby and the circle of life. And so we're going to not only dedicate little Crosby to God, but we are baptizing him and receiving this gift from God into your lives. And you're going to make promises before God that you will see that this child is raised in the right way with the right values and taught right from wrong and loved. We used a word in our prayer of the day, grace. We use that word very flippantly, but grace, the grace of God, is receiving a gift we don't deserve. The grace of God is that God loves us and loves Crosby absolutely. He'll never stop loving him. And unconditionally, there's nothing we can ever do that would stop God from loving Crosby. And so this is a real precious gift. And you are called to take care of him, okay? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather today as brothers and sisters in Christ, in this great circle of life, you are here and you are now, and you are present, and you love us and care for us, and you love this baby. And you give him to Jen and Eric to raise. And so we pray your Spirit might be with him in a big and in a full way, and that he might grow in love and care and concern. Bless this time and bless this baby in Jesus' name. Amen. So do you believe in God the Father Almighty? If so, say, I believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord? If so, say, I believe. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting? If so, say, I believe. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, say, I renounce him. And do you wish little Crosby to be baptized in this Christian faith? Yeah. All right. We've got water from the Jordan River, the place where Jesus was baptized. Oh, now I got to do this. I got to pour this water over his head. So I want you to see the before and after picture. All Hi, Dale.
Precious.
Here's your new brother in Christ, huh? All right, Crosby. I baptize you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, you have been marked by the cross of Christ. May you grow strong in this kingdom. Yeah. Keep that. there's your brother in Christ. There's a baptismal package there I would ask Darlene to pass on.
Hi, Bruce.
Yeah, look at those little piggies. There's your new brother in Christ. Hi, Grandpa. Hi, Grandma. Yeah, what a day. I want you to know that whatever we can do to help you guys, we're always going to be there, okay? And we'll keep you in our prayers, and we hope you'll keep us in your prayers. You guys can be seated. Oh, I forgot to have you light the candles. Why don't you light the candle? That's the sign of, there's your baptismal candle there, Eric. That's passed on through the generations, and now you get to light his. And I'll tell you what, that's not going to burn down to nothingness, okay? Okay. So we'll leave him lit, and it'll be fine. Oh, are you hungry? All right, go to Papa. There you go. Congratulations.
Our first reading today is from Genesis 2, 15 through 17. Human beings were formed with great care to be in relationship with the Creator, creation, and one another. The serpent's promise to the first couple that their eyes would be opened led, ironically, to the discovery only that they were naked. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to keep it and till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall die." We'll read responsibly Psalm 32. If you'll, the refrain when there's a bold R, say, "Mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away. While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you shall go. I will guide you with my eye.
Mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord.
Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding, who must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you. Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart.
Mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this first Sunday of Lent is found in the fourth chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with the first verse. Jesus experiences anew the temptations that Israel faced in the wilderness. As the Son of God, he endures the testing of the evil one. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The old country song goes like this: "Lead me not into temptation. I already know the road all too well. Lead me not into temptation. I can find it all by myself." It's a chorus that makes us silently chuckle, or at least smile. But after a few moments of reflection, we understand that this at heart is a sobering statement of the human situation. Lead me not into temptation. I can find it all by myself. Temptation, something we're going to focus a few thoughts on this morning. It follows us to the office. It follows us to the cafeteria. It forces us to say no to some of those basic desires. It's as old as humanity. You can read all about it in the second chapter of Genesis. Our first lesson this morning: the Lord took man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it, and the Lord God commanded the man, "You're free to eat from any of these trees in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of good and evil, of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you shall certainly die." And we all know the story. The scriptures say, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." We all know the story of Adam and Eve. We all know the power of temptation. Even Jesus struggled with the tempter. That's what our gospel lesson is about. Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to fast and pray for 40 days, 40 nights. He's hungry. The tempter comes to him and asks him, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to become bread." And Jesus says, "Man shall not eat by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And the devil takes him to the holy city and has him on the highest point of the temple and says, "If you are God, throw yourself down, for it's written, let the angels have charge over you. You will not strike your foot against the stone." And Jesus says, "It's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And again, the devil takes him to a very high mountains and shows him all the kingdoms of earth. "All of this I'll give you if you bow down and worship me." And Jesus says, "Away from me, Satan. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." And the devil leaves him, and the angels came and attended him. To be human is to be tempted. Tempted to anger, tempted to lust, tempted to sloth, tempted to stubbornness, tempted to vengeance. And the list goes on and on and on. How do you say no to the tempter? We baptized little Crosby this morning. When we raise our kids, we teach them something called impulse control. And it's probably the most important virtue a person can acquire. But how do we learn to control our most basic impulses and desires? It's tough. We're told that the devil knows the places in our lives where we're vulnerable. That's to say, your temptation may not be mine. My temptation may not be yours. We each fight our own temptations in different places. In the Week magazine, they give me a nickel each time I mention that. There was an interesting article. A woman wrote, her name was Susan Nielsen, wrote about her temptation. And she says, according to that column, her temptation is materialism. She talks about 25 years ago how she envied a neighbor's pool. And it opened her mind to all what she should do with all of her disposable income. She said she liked to buy things that you don't need
and that the neighbors can't afford. She said it was like meeting the devil himself with a swimsuit and a smile. And she says it's been running through her mind ever since she saw that swimming pool. After college, she said she worked on luxury yachts, and the owners of those luxury yachts either flew in on their own private planes or flew first class. Then she moved to Oregon, and she bought a house, and she spent a year gloating because she had a washer and a dryer, and that changed her whole lifestyle. She could do her laundry any place, any time, any day she wanted, and that was a significant improvement over the quality of her life. And then the person from the community came with the welcome basket, and the welcome basket lady shared a little gossip. She said, the couple across the way, you know, they have central air. And the couple down the street have a landscaper. And the couple across the street just over there, they buy gourmet cheese. And it only costs $12 a pound. And the couple over there has a landscaper. And the couple over there has doggy daycare. And the couple over there has their bathroom tiled. And their wine collection is out of this world. She says, I almost cried myself to sleep on my futon couch. She says this about the tempter. This is what she writes. She says, he loves selling the American dream as a scarce commodity. He loves hinting, if I don't try harder to be rich, I'll end up poor. That's why we have the same conversation now as we did 25 years ago, next to the swimming pool of a girl whose face I barely remember. I tell him I'm blessed with everything I need. He laughs and says in a voice as old as money, that's not enough. That's not enough. For many people, it's not enough. We need more. We need better. There's constantly that voice that says, more, more, more. You can use this. All of us have a point where we're vulnerable to temptation. Some of us are weak at one point. And some of us are weak at another point. We each fight our own demons. Tempter always hits us where we're most vulnerable. Came to Jesus when he'd been fasting for 40 days and offers him bread. Then Satan offers Jesus shortcuts. Throw yourself down from the temple. And the angels will take care of you. It's a lot easier than hanging on a cross. Bow down to me. And let me give you all the kingdoms of the world. It's a lot quicker than waiting generation after generation after generation through all those fickle disciples and those folks who will follow you to build their temple. You wait for them, it'll never be done. Tempter always approaches us where we're vulnerable. That's what happened to Jesus. That's what happens to you and me. But Jesus didn't give in, and neither should we. What can we learn about dealing with temptation from Jesus' experience in the wilderness? What can we learn from this lesson? Three ways that I saw. First of all, it's important for us to know our scriptures. It's interesting, don't you think, that one of the things the tempter did in dealing with Jesus was quote scripture to him? Of course, he took the scriptures out of context. He knew that because Jesus was grounded in the Hebrew scriptures. Jesus knew and replied with the scriptures. That's important. If you're not in a Bible study, if you're not reading the Bible, if you're not doing a devotional, pick one up and start. Lent is a good time to do that. But Jesus knew the scriptures and how to respond. I notice our friend Jim Lang isn't here. I'm kind of thankful because we're told that farmers in Minnesota used to advertise on WCCO for something called Babcock B300s. Jim would be Googling it right now. Babcock B300s, what is that? Well, back in the 30s, Babcock B300s were special breeds of chickens. That were supposed to lay more eggs than any other kind of chickens out there. And so they advertised for that. And what was really interesting was the fellow who developed them. His name was Monroe C. Babcock. And his theory was he believed that chickens would produce better fatter eggs, more healthful eggs, if farmers read their Bibles and went to church every Sunday. He believed that people who knew the love of God would be more loving and kind to others around them and the animals they took care of. And the chickens that were treated really kindly would produce more. And that was behind the advertising. So buy Babcock B300s and your eggs will produce at a multitude of others. Now, I really can't speculate about the effects of reading the Bible on chickens. And I'm not certain if any research had ever been done that said his chickens grew and his eggs grew larger than anybody else. But the rest of Babcock's beliefs are spot on. People who read their Bibles and go to church often, people who know the love of God, surely will be more loving and kind to others around them, even to the animals that they're charged to take care of. Point is, we're all weak. There's one reason to immerse ourselves in the Scripture, and that is as we listen and put the words of Scripture to work at our lives, we might be kinder, we might be gentler, we might grow in our understanding of what a good human being is. And I think that's stood the test of time. That's the first thing. In the second place, Jesus looked at the Scriptures. He knew them. We should draw close to the Scriptures. We'll be able to fight the tempter. Second thing, we need to stay close as possible to Christian friends. We're always more vulnerable to temptation when we're alone. Have you noticed that? That's when we're most vulnerable. The tempter came to Jesus when he was alone in the wilderness. The tempter came to Simon Peter when he was by himself in the fire in the temple courtyard. The tempter came to Judas when he was away from the other disciples. And I could go on and on and on. That's when we're most vulnerable, when we separate ourselves from other Christian sojourners. How do we stop the tempter? You know your Scriptures? How do we stop the tempter? We stay near to Christian friends. And finally, when we resolve to stay far away from any compromising situations, we will be in a lot better place. The old country western song, "Lead me not into temptation." I already know the road all too well. And that's the problem. If we give the tempter the least bit of room in our lives, resisting becomes all that much more difficult. Stories told of a certain African tribe that learned an easy way to capture ducks. The ducks would fly into the river. The tribesmen learned that if they went upstream and dropped a pumpkin in and watched it float down into the midst of the ducks would fly away. But then when they'd come back, they'd drop another pumpkin, and they'd fly away. And they'd come back, drop another pumpkin, and pretty soon they wouldn't go so far, and they'd come back. They'd drop another pumpkin, and pretty soon they kind of were a little wary of it. And pretty soon when they dropped that pumpkin, they just paid it no attention. They would remain there. And finally, they accepted the pumpkins as a normal path of life. And so when the natives saw that the pumpkins no longer bothered the ducks, they hollowed the pumpkins out, put them on their heads, wandered into the water, floated down, and they'd reach under and pull their legs down and stick them into a bag they had on their side. Dinner? Roast duck? That's how the tempter works. That's how the tempter works. He normally doesn't attack us head on. It begins with a small compromise here and a small compromise there. A few dollars out of the till here, no one will notice at first. A wink, a smile, a phone call. And before long, we're roast duck. We're roast duck. Bottom line, how do you deal with temptation? And we're all tempted. From today's scripture reminds us we should know our Scriptures, what is right, what is wrong, what God tells us a way to live. Know our Scriptures. We should be faithful in worship and in church fellowship opportunities, because when you're traveling in Christian circles, you tend to want, don't misbehave. And third, stay as far away from temptation. Don't put yourself in compromising situations. And then we can pray with Jesus, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our praise team to lead us. Put your hand in the hand, and we'll ask the ushers to receive our morning offering.
Please rise. Please turn to the offertory prayer on page 5. Let us pray together. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Returning to the Lord our God, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for a silent prayer. Let us pray for the whole Christian church. Instruct and teach your church in the way that it should go, so that it worships and serves only you. Hear us, O God. Let us pray for the well-being of creation. Renew all waters, lands, and skies to reflect your glory. And guide us to be respectful in how we use all earthly resources. Hear us, O God. Let us pray for all nations and peoples. Grant justice where there is inequity, peace where there is conflict, and wisdom for all who lead. Hear us, O God. Let us pray for all in need. Provide caring communities for all who are burdened by guilt, shame, addiction, and illness. We especially remember in our prayers those who are fighting physical problems in our church. Be with all of those who are finding health problems in our lives. Comfort those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. Walk with those who need your healing touch. Preserve them from all trouble. Hear us, O God. Let us pray for this assembly. Keep all who worship in this place steadfast in your word. Fill with your spirit all who are preparing for baptism. Hear us, O God. We thank you for the gift of baptism, Lord. Be with little Crosby today as he grows in your kingdom. Help them to be a strong spokesman for your love. We ask your blessing to be with our family members. Wherever they find themselves this day, keep them in your loving care. We ask you to travel with our friends, especially our church friends who are down south. Allow them to travel safely home as well. Let us give thanks for the faithful departed whose transgressions are forgiven and who now rejoice in heaven. Lead us in their path. Hear us, O God. Into your hands, O God, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Would you lead us in the Lord's Prayer, please? And receive the benediction. May the God of glory dwell in you richly, name you beloved, and shine brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace. Christ is your light.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is Awesome God.
He's returning.